Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, September 8th. I've been gone for a week. Did everyone miss me? I missed me. Does that even make sense? No. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett. With me today, as always, producer Mike Roy.
Well, if you missed yourself, you had to have been in like another state of mind because you're kind of with yourself all the time, right?
Isn't there a state that the state of being in another state of mind is like their state quote
the
or
state
something?
In and of itself. Oh, I see what you're
We're
saying.
We're just going off on a tangent now, but I was actually in another state. I was in New Hampshire over the holiday weekend, and I had a good time. I was at my sister's wedding at a campground in New Hampshire, and it was very rustic, which is not really my thing, but it was beautiful, and I was very happy for her, of course. All right, moving on. We're going to do some clips today like we always do, and I got a lot to catch you up on since I wasn't here for a week. You can call us here at the station, 404-231-1190. You can tweet your comments to at Dana H. Barrett, or you can just use the hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z radio. So before we get to clips, I want to kind of talk about some stuff that I missed last weekend. I don't know what you all were doing here in Atlanta, but there's so much going on in Atlanta now over Labor Day weekend that we've really become a destination. First of all, there's Dragon Con, which, if you're not into participating, it doesn't even matter because you can just ride MARTA or you can hang out downtown and just watch the Dragon Conners. Is that what you call them? And it's just like a giant costume party all weekend long. So that's kind of cool. If you're into sci-fi in any way, shape, or form, I mean, Dragon Con is like the place to be. Of course, there's also the Decatur Book Festival, which is a personal favorite of mine and where I usually go if I'm in town on Labor Day weekend. And then there's also football, which I know nothing about, which is why I rely on the delightful Mike Roy. But I believe it was the Chick-fil-A kickoff game this past weekend. So who played this time?
That would be Alabama and Virginia Tech.
And I think it was like sold out way early, right? Like I think it sold out in July or something.
Those games, yeah, they sell out fast all the time.
Yeah.
They've been doing this game for a few years now. And
yeah.
Last year it was Auburn and Clemson, and that one sold out fast as well. But that also has to do with the two schools being very close to Atlanta in pretty much opposite directions.
And big rivals.
Not
as big
really.
As some.
They should be. They're kind of quasi-rivals, kind of same lines with Auburn and Georgia Tech.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, see, I get educated a little bit every time I come in here. I love it. All right. So also on that note, I wanted to kind of, obviously, we're talking about last weekend, so if you missed all those events, there's really nothing you can do until next year. So I thought in the name of, you know, furthering the great events around Atlanta, I would share some stuff that's coming up in Atlanta for you so you can put them on your calendar. And this is all courtesy of the Central Atlanta Progress event calendar, which you can find at atlantadowntown.com/events. So here's some stuff that's coming up. First of all, today you can go to Atlanta Streets Alive on Peachtree Street, which is at Woodruff Park. Which is kind of a cool event. There's the Castleberry Hill Art Stroll, September 13th, if you're into checking out art. And I have yet to go to that, but I've been wanting to go for a while. It looks like a pretty cool event. Let's see what else we have here. You can go to the new penguin encounter over at the Georgia Aquarium. Penguins are so cute, aren't they? Don't you love penguins, Mike Roy?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
They're cute, but I think, are they, like, angry in real life? Like, are they as nice as they look, or are they...
It's all a trick.
I wonder if they're really sweet, or they look really cute. Anyway, you can also check out the Atlanta Streetcar Walking Tour. If you're curious about where the streetcar is going to go and what it's going to be all about, you can do that September 21st. And there's lots of good music events coming up at Centennial Olympic Park on September 10th. You got Mumford & Sons playing along with the Vaccines and Bear's Den. So that's pretty cool. So there's a lot of stuff. And that was just a handful of events. But they are all listed on atlantadowntown.com/events. So if you want more information on any of those events or any other events here in Atlanta, that's a good website to kind of tune into. They also have a lot of updates about the streetcar and about sort of all the happenings downtown, the College Football Hall of Fame and all that good stuff. So, all right. I'm going to keep this first segment focused on kind of what's happening around Atlanta. And my first clip today is actually from our Gwinnett Business Radio studio. And the It's the Gwinnett Business Radio Show, and the hosts of the show are Mike Salmon and Steve Julien. And the guest on this week's show was a guy named Bill Blackwell, who is the Business and Community Development Manager for the Gwinnett Center. And so I want to air this clip for you because he's talking about the Gwinnett Center, and I think it's a place that, you know, sometimes we don't think about, but they have some really interesting stuff going on there. So take a quick listen to this clip.
As Business and Community Development Manager, is there anything that the Gwinnett Center has not done that you're trying to do?
Yes, there are several things, and one of those is to have a full-service hotel on campus. And we have a proposal in front of the county commissioners right now, and if it's approved, we will start moving forward with a developer to put a 300-room full-service Marriott on campus.
Wow.
And if that happens, that would also enable us to possibly enlarge our exhibit hall space, which would allow us to have bigger conventions, bigger trade shows, and those kind of things. And quite frankly, it's needed because I mentioned the robotics championship. We actually are losing that to the Georgia World Congress Center because of the size. We just couldn't accommodate all the things that they need. So there are things on the wish list. There are things on the, you know, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, all of those type things. And a lot of dominoes have to fall before they all get there. But we are looking to keep improving, keep enlarging, trying to serve the public as best we can.
All right. So again, that was Bill Blackwell, the Business and Community Development Manager for the Gwinnett Center. And that was just a little bit about some of the expansion plans there, which, you know, if you're not really paying attention, all of a sudden you drive by something, and you're like, whoa, where'd that hotel come from? So obviously they're planning more and more stuff out of there. And, you know, you may want to take a listen to the entire interview, which you can find at GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com, because earlier in the interview, Bill also talks about free parking out there, which if you forgot about that, when there are events at the Gwinnett Center, the parking there is a pleasure. I've gone to a couple of events there, and it's so easy to park, and it's free, which is so joyous, because as much as I love downtown, and I'm a big supporter of downtown, you pay a lot of money to park there, and it can be a big hassle. And same thing with going to the Georgia Dome or any of the in-town, you know, arenas. It's expensive. So if you're going to the Gwinnett Center, you don't have to pay for parking. And the other thing I wanted to mention about that is they do have a cool event coming up. He mentioned that they have a lot of unusual events, but one of the ones he did mention that I wanted to throw out there was they have the Dalai Lama coming October 8th. It'd be kind of cool to see the Dalai Lama in person, don't you think? I think I would feel, you know, raised to a new level, you know? Anyway, so the reason I wanted to air that particular clip is just because there's so much going on around Atlanta that it's easy to lose focus. I mean, there's so many arenas. There's, you know, an arena in Alpharetta now. There's a lot of stuff downtown. And there's, I don't know if there's really one good central location to sort of keep up with. I mean, maybe Ticketmaster. But other than that, there's sort of not a good place to keep up with everything that's going on. And also, it was a good segue for me into some of the news around town, which one of the big news stories over the last few weeks is that MARTA is now eyeing a major expansion up the Georgia 400 corridor. And I want to go into a little more detail on that, but before I do, just to end the discussion about Gwinnett, I just want to say, like, one of the problems with MARTA in Atlanta, for me, has always been that it doesn't go enough places. You know, so in cities like New York and Boston and D.C. and Philadelphia, like, you can live without a car. You can take the train or the bus or the trolley or the tram or whatever it is, and you can get pretty much anywhere you want to go. But here, because it's really just the north-south and there's just one east-west and that's it, you're very limited. And just imagine if we could have MARTA all the way out to the Gwinnett Center.
I think they're all in the perimeter.
Yes.
I don't think any of them in any direction extend
beyond
285.
Well, the other counties from, and I don't know the details of all this, but I think the other counties have been, other than Fulton, have been very resistant to MARTA. I think Fulton and DeKalb maybe are the only two that have MARTA actually in them. And they really have been really boons for development. I mean, the perimeter area, which MARTA goes to, has just seen some amazing development because MARTA's there. I mean, State Farm, I believe, just decided to do a huge expansion in the perimeter area because MARTA's there. So Gwinnett lost that business, right? State Farm maybe could have looked at Gwinnett or maybe could have looked at Cobb, but they didn't because there's no MARTA there. So anyway, that all that said, MARTA is looking at expanding even further now up the Georgia 400 corridor. So right now, the farthest you can go is North Springs, but they're actually looking at taking it all the way up to Windward Parkway. And before we go to break, I'll just note that they know the taxpayers aren't going to want to pay for it, so they're looking at private investment. And they're looking at private investment that would be centered around more development around MARTA. So anyway, interesting stuff and more headlines coming up. But first, we'll take a quick break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Tired of exposing your retirement to stock market risk? Call 855-560-SAFE. That's 855-560-7233 for your complimentary strategic money kit. Or join Chris Thomas for Safe Money and Income Radio, Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. here on Biz 1190.
Public cloud.
Cloud security.
Cloud app. Cloud sourcing.
These days, a lot of people are talking about the cloud. At Kronos, we're actually doing something with it. From the Fortune 500 to thousands of small and mid-sized businesses, our innovative time and attendance, scheduling, HR, and payroll solutions are helping organizations of all types increase revenues, lower costs, and improve customer satisfaction. Learn more about Kronos Cloud Technology at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
Coming soon to Biz 1190, DTI Market Buzz with Tom Busby. Tom Busby gives market insights and understanding trading stocks, options, futures, and other markets. DTI Market Buzz with Tom Busby.
DTIMarketBuzz.com.
Coming soon to Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. It is still the Business Radio X Week in Review. As far as I know, I'm still Dana Barrett, and that over there is still Mike Roy.
I think I'm still him.
We're having an existential moment, so I don't know. But before the break, we were talking about MARTA. So just to kind of wrap that up, you know, one of the things I said before the break is that the fact that MARTA doesn't go enough places is sort of, I think, one of the things that really kind of holds us back as a city. And so I'm glad to see that they're planning some expansion. I think it's actually the first time they've done an expansion in quite a number of years. I don't have the number, but I want to say maybe around 10 years. I could be wrong about that. But while we were on the break, Mike asked me if I knew about the Georgia 400 tolls and if that was going away. So I quickly looked it up, and I said yes, but then I wanted to make sure I was right. And yes, I looked it up. And in case you weren't sure, the Georgia 400 tolls will be going away in December of this year. That was announced earlier in the summer, I believe, by the governor. And it's funny because there are a lot of controversial articles about it. I had seen at the time. I just wasn't sure what the date was. But there are some people that are complaining about it going away, would you believe? I kind of get that because, you know, I think there was a lot of complaint about when it went up. And the whole point when they put it in was that it was only supposed to pay for that road, for that Georgia 400 extension, I believe. And so they made it, when they originally put it in, there was a limit. It was supposed to be there for a certain number of years until that road was paid for and then go away. And then they didn't. They extended it and they kept it and whatever. But I sort of feel like it's already there. The infrastructure is already there. There are tolls all over this country, and it's still one of the cheapest tolls around. And if we can use that money to fund other important things in the city, we're already used to paying it. What's the big deal? Like, just because somebody made a promise, whatever, well, it was a dumb promise. So, Like, what do we think we're exempt here from tolls? And the funny thing is, we now have tolls. I mean, they're optional, I guess, because you the HOV lanes on 85 or whatever, you don't have to use them. But I don't know. Go ahead, Mike. I see you wanted to say something.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little happy about the tolls going away. But I'm glad you mentioned the Peach Pass is what I think you're referring to.
Yep.
And I'm still not completely sure how that works.
I am
like,
not either.
How do you even pay it when you're driving in the lane?
You have a cruise card, just like Georgia 400. Yeah, I think you have to have that in order to use it.
And the rates seem to go down as it gets later into the day.
Yeah, they charge you more for like rush hour, basically, I think.
So the card knows when you're driving in that lane in a certain area?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a very smart card. Smarter than you and I think.
Probably.
But you know, I guess I just feel like, you know, we're used to paying it. Why not leave it there? It's going to cost money to take it down. So why do we want to, I don't know, are they going to leave the brick buildings there and the tolls and just have it free? I don't know. It just seems silly to me. It's like, just get over it, people. You know, and just put it to something good. Like, just make a decision that all the money from the tolls that we're going to do now will go to something good.
Well, plus, if you get rid of them, there's probably going to be a lot of like rubble on 400, so it's probably going to close the road.
Right, I would imagine there's some construction.
While it's being cleaned up, and that's not good, because it's a very busy road.
We'll see what happens, but maybe they're just going to shut it down and let you just drive through it without, I don't know, we'll see. To be continued, I guess. All right, other things in Atlanta, I wanted to just give you a quick update on the stadium, because we've talked about that several times. On the show, the last thing I read about it, and you can call and correct me if I'm wrong, but and again, that number 404-231-1190. I like people to give people the opportunity to correct me. You know, why not? Anyway, the last thing I read about it was before the holiday weekend, and it was a statement from Arthur Blank saying we're fairly close on the stadium site selection. He says we're going to pick something in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, quote unquote, well before October 1st. So, again, to be continued, there should be more news probably by next Sunday or certainly the week after on the stadium site. Interestingly enough, the two stories I just talked about, MARTA and the stadium, have a little connection. The Atlanta Business Chronicle did a poll and they asked what you would rather have your Atlanta tax dollar spent on, the MARTA expansion or the stadium. And some huge percent said MARTA. Only like 9% said the stadium. It was an informal poll. It wasn't a lot of people, but kind of interesting. Okay. Another kind of interesting thing that could affect Georgia and the economy here is that North Carolina is very close to axing their tax break for movie companies, which is interesting because we have big tax breaks here in Georgia, of course, for the film industry and the television industry, music industry, all of that, which is why we're getting all these productions here and we're calling ourselves the Hollywood of the South and blah, blah, blah. But North Carolina has been a competitor of ours in getting some of that business. I think Iron Man 3 was filmed in North Carolina. Homeland, the TV show, is filmed there. So there's some stuff going on there. And I guess they've just looked at the numbers and they've decided they're better off doing something different. And so it hasn't happened yet. But if it does happen, I think it'll be interesting for us. I think we may get even more film business here in Georgia. So that's a good thing. And I'm going to switch gears a little bit before we take another break, because we have another clip that I want to share with you from the Business Radio X studios. This one is from the Results Matter radio show, which aired last Tuesday, the 3rd. Hosts of that show are Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. And on the show were the Financial Executives International Group. And it was a couple of guys, Chris Arndt and Ron Barden. And Chris, I believe, in this clip is talking about training CFOs and other financial executives to plan their exit strategies. And I just thought it was kind of interesting. So take a quick listen.
How do you manage, you know, your exit? You know, like talking to someone who's thinking about leaving a company.
Right. So that's one of the specific topics that you could bubble up in that career management group.
Right. And it would be very targeted. And you say, well, you know, how do you handle your stock sale, for example?
Right.
And you say, well, on a fiduciary basis and your private company, you should have an external valuation of the company done every year. And you say, well, why is that? Well, the board members and the executive team are incented to create value.
Right.
Have someone validate externally, are you up or you're down. Now, if a board member, for example, you get in a fiduciary conversation, you say, if a board member says, I have to drop off the board, I've got a sick family member, I want to unload my stock. Well, you don't want to be a transaction of convenience, where you now roll this guy and say, well, it's really at 100 a share, but we'll give you 10 cents, right?
Right.
But so you want to have an external valuation and say, look, you're going to get the higher of the latest transaction, the latest offer on the table, or this external valuation that's been independently validated and approved.
And
by the
we
board.
Have a rhythm that this happens on a regular basis,
yeah.
So that it isn't on a as needed basis.
Yeah, and so you know the whole thinking is you want to align yourself, the CEO, and the board for what they're there to do, which
right.
is create value. And then when there's an exit, make sure that that value is captured. You know, again, along those lines, when you look at stock grants or if you have an employment agreement, sure, there'd be duration to it,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, companies need different CFOs at different points of their evolution. The guy who does the angel capital round is not necessarily your private equity guy.
Right.
Your private equity guy is probably not your IPO guy.
Right.
And so you want to be thinking about that. And you want to say, this is how you need to be. And so you need to plan your exit in mm-hmm. advance. And it sounds like a world of prenups, right? Say at 4 years or, you know, 4 to 5 years in the company evolution, it might be time for another CFO. And let's have the conversation up front. And how does that exit look?
All right. Again, that was Chris Arndt on the Results Matter radio show from Financial Executives International talking about an exit strategy. And if you want to listen to that entire episode, it's some good stuff on there. You can go to resultsmatterradio.businessradiox.com and get the full episode. But one of the reasons I wanted to air that specific clip for you is just that I thought it was really interesting. I mean, one of the things that I've talked about probably on this show already several times is some of what I think is wrong with the hiring and firing process and human resources in general and, you know, how salaries are negotiated and all of those kinds of things in that sort of HR umbrella. And this just kind of nailed something for me that I think is kind of funny. You know, one of the classic interview questions you get when you're looking for a job is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I always thought that was the dumbest question because honestly, I don't really know where I see myself tomorrow. Okay, maybe I could figure out tomorrow. Maybe I could even figure out this year. But 5 years, who the heck knows?
With you on that one.
Yeah, like really, 5 years, who knows what could happen between now and 5 years from now? Anything could happen. And when they ask that question, what are they really looking for that you have drive, that you're motivated? And it's always a risk too, because if it's the manager, your hiring manager, that's going to be your boss, and you go like, well, in 5 years I want your job, you know, then maybe they won't hire you. But it's so funny because if you tie it back to this,
that should be the right answer, by the way, and yet it's obviously not the right
but one. No, but it should be. And I think for some people it is the right answer, you know, and if you say it with maybe a little bit of sense of humor, you can get away with it, you know. It's sort of like, I want your job assuming you've been promoted, you know. But if you listen to what Chris said from Financial Executives International about having an exit strategy, the real answer to that question would be not here. Where do you want to be in 5 years? Well, anywhere but here, because I'm planning my exit strategy. You know, and frankly, you won't want me here because your business will change. That's the other thing he said, that you're going to need, you know, a company may need a different type of CFO for a different stage of business. So in 5 years, I don't want to be here and you aren't going to want me to be here. That's my 5-year plan. You know, anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting because we don't think about that. You know, I think there's still a little bit of a holdout from the old school, you know, that we're going to stay at a company for 30 years so that our 5-year answer should actually make sense. But in this economy and this climate that we're in now, that's not how it works. If you're somewhere 5 years, that's quite an accomplishment. All right. On that note, we are going to take a quick break. And after the break, I am going to talk cars with you people.
The concept of having annuities as part of your investment strategy isn't as simple as it sounds. You need to be informed about the options annuities may provide and where they may fit in your broader investment strategy. Do you really understand the role annuities play in your portfolio? RJL Wealth Management is introducing Annuity Double Check, a free consultation to review the annuities you own or may be considering. If you're unsure about benefits, risks, or fees of your fixed, indexed, immediate, or variable annuity, schedule a complimentary double check. Contact an RJL Wealth Management advisor at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or go to annuitydoublecheck.com.
Annuities are long-term investments designed for retirement purposes and contain fees and other provisions which vary by product, issuer, and state. Before investing in a variable annuity, you should carefully consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The prospectuses for the annuity and underlying funds contain this and other information. Contact your financial advisor for a copy and read it carefully. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management, LLC.
There's a lot of talk these days about the national debt crisis. But what if you were facing a personal debt crisis? You could be hit with a job loss or salary cut, a separation or divorce, even property damage or a serious illness. These situations often lead to trouble with credit cards, and from then on, it only gets worse. Unless you call 1-800-990-6976. That's the number for nonprofit Trinity Debt Management. Trinity is a certified credit counseling agency with a program that will dramatically lower your interest rates, reduce your monthly payments, make your creditors stop calling, and help you become debt-free fast and for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Grab your phone and call Trinity for your free debt analysis at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Call now or visit MyDebtHasMeDown.com.
When you booked with Booking.com, did you expect this?
Caviar.
Somewhere 10 times better than anywhere you've ever lived or will ever live.
Chic.
Look at the Booking pool. You don't have a pool. You don't even have a bath.
French stuff.
Spin around in the spaciousness that's not your 32-square-foot apartment because you have arrived.
Helicopter.
In your dream getaway, which you chose from over 300,000 properties on planet Earth's number one accommodation site, Booking.com. Booking.com.
Yeah.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke. I was the dad on a show called Growing Pains, and like all TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money. So here goes. If you were ever to find yourself owing the IRS $10,000 or more, you could be looking at wage garnishments, liens, bank levies. You might even lose your home or business. Not good. That's why I'd tell you to call the people at Optima Tax Relief, because there's a new tax debt forgiveness program just announced by the IRS called the Fresh Start Initiative. By calling Optima, you can jump on one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. It's huge. You could qualify for a settlement that's 75% lower than before these changes. They're A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they even offer a money-back guarantee. Trust me, kids, you can trust these guys.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Biz 1190. Weather.
This afternoon, it'll be mostly sunny, warm, the high getting up to 90, then clear to partly cloudy, 71 tonight. Tomorrow, blend of sun and clouds with an afternoon and evening shower, thunderstorm in spots, the high getting up to 90. Warm with clouds and sun and an afternoon thunderstorm on Tuesday, the high 87. Wednesday, partly sunny, up to our 80s again, and then upper 80s Thursday with a chance of a shower, thunderstorm in the afternoon. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dean DeVore with your forecast for Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm still Dana Barrett, still here with producer Mike Roy. The number, the number here is still 404-231-1190. You can tweet us at Dana H. Barrett or with the hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio. Now, I said before the break that we were going to talk cars, probably for the rest of the show. So before I launch into my car buying, car selling soapbox saga, complete with, by the way, a clip from Business Radio X. I love when things just come together like that. I want to do some happy things first, because then I'm going to start getting angry. And so I thought we'd just get the happy out of the way and then we can go to angry. So here's an interesting little story I found, completely unrelated to anything else. Today, we're just jumping all over the place. Restaurants apparently are now rethinking the whole concept of adding in tips for big parties because of a new IRS rule, which is kind of interesting, because that has always been one of those things that I think as a consumer we kind of hate.
It basically gives them free rein to give you terrible service.
Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, I think to some extent it's bad for servers. You know, one of the other things I think interesting about that, so apparently the bottom line is the IRS is creating a new rule that would force them to record those service charges, they call them, differently than tips and blah, blah, blah. So they're thinking about, a couple of big restaurant chains are thinking of actually getting rid of that practice. So it'd be kind of interesting to see if all the smaller restaurants follow suit. But it's interesting because I was at a restaurant not too long ago with a bigger party, and they were very adamant that they didn't want to do separate checks, and they were going to put that 18% gratuity on there and whatever. I actually think the servers do better if they separate the checks, which is not that hard for them to do. And, I mean, their computers do it for them. So, yeah, it might be a little bit of a pain in the neck. But the thing is, if everybody's tipping you individually, they're probably all, if you're decent, they're probably all rounding up. Whereas if you get one big tip, well, first of all, if it's 18%, it's 18% and that's it. You know, I can't, after three glasses of wine, I can't do math. So I'm giving you 20% and then I'm rounding it up. So I don't have to do the math, you know. So I think if everybody at the table's doing that, the server's actually going to do better. Anyway, kind of interesting.
I guess it's possible, although not likely, that each person will have a different quality of service, even though it's the same way.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible.
And somebody could say, well, that guy's leaving a tip, so I don't have to, or whatever. Yeah. But I still think the chances are most people are good people, and they're going to treat you right. And I think it'll be fine for the servers either way. But I think it'll be better for consumers, as you said, because now the control is back in our hands, and they better give us good service, or they're not getting that built-in 18%. So that makes me happy. That's not on my soapbox. That's a happy thing. And one more happy thing before we pull out the soapbox. You know how I like my surveys and lists and stuff, Mike. So this week, I wanted to share with you that Atlanta is number 4 in the happiest cities survey. We're a very happy city here.
Fourth in the country?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Fourth in the country. Not the world, sadly.
Not the world.
But not the whole world. But the country, we're fourth. The first happiest... Where is the first one? I see... Oh. Dallas, I think, is number one. Yes, Dallas is number one. I'm like reading the, I'm looking right at the piece of paper. I see everything except number one. Number one is Dallas. Number two, Houston. Number three, my home city of Philadelphia. Four, Atlanta. Five, Los Angeles. Six, New York City. Seven, Washington, D.C. Eight, Chicago. Nine, Boston. And 10, San Francisco. Just kind of interesting because I would have put San Fran higher because everybody seems really
I'm
wacky.
Surprised New York City is even on that list.
I know. And also like in California where they have all the, like they can smoke medical marijuana whenever they want, you think they'd be happier.
You would think.
You would think. Anyway, just in case you're wondering where they come up with this nonsense, they say they compared a lot of different things about, you know, age, gender, race, ethnicity, and all those things have a part in how happy you are, but that location has a very strong part in how happy you are. And they also say Atlanta residents are among those most likely to agree that they are optimistic about the future, 81% said that, that their spiritual beliefs are a positive guiding force for them, 77% said that, and also that they are among the least likely in the country to feel their voices are not heard in national decisions. That was a little bit of a double negative, but in other words, they feel like they're heard. On the downside in Atlanta, we are among the least likely cities to agree that our relationships and friends bring us happiness. That's very sad. And also, we're among the most likely to worry about our financial situation. So we aren't perfect. That's why we're number 4. But anyway, we're happy, generally speaking, except for when we try to buy a car. So moving on to the soapbox.
Listener discretion advised.
That's right. I will keep it clean for you people, but I can promise you that during this process, I was not keeping it clean.
Chairs will be thrown, so I'm going to be hiding under the...
I have to say, this is so funny because 2 weeks ago, I came in here and I was all happy because I was working with this great sales guy, Anoop, down at Nally BMW. I did not buy a BMW. I was buying a used car, my first ever used car purchase. And I was doing everything the quote-unquote Clark Howard way. You know, I went and got my loan approved from a credit union, and then I found my used car online, and I negotiated my price without taking their financing and without talking about my trade. And I was doing everything right. And it turned into... And when I was here 2 weeks ago, I said, oh, it's going really great. You know, I'm close to having a deal on this car that I want, and it's all going to be really good. And I was like giving a new props for being a good salesman, but I did say that, you know, the deal wasn't done and he could still screw me before it was all said and done. Now, in fairness to a new, he's still a good guy and he was on my side and he did the right thing. However, I did have some other problems with the sale that I will tell you about. But before I do that, I want to play today's clip because it's related to cars and it's actually from the Atlanta Business Radio show that aired on August 29th. Host of that show, Lee Cantor and Stone Payton, and they had a guy on named Ernie Garcia Jr., who is the president and founder of Carvana. And in this clip, Ernie is explaining what Carvana is and talking just about some of the car buying stuff. So take a listen to Ernie.
Carvana is kind of the first of its kind. It's a 100% online retailer. And when we say 100% online, what we basically mean for automotive, I'm sorry, for cars. What we mean is the customer goes online, you pick your car, you figure out what you're interested in, you can go through the entire purchase process, you can pick out your financing, you can sign your contracts online. We deliver the car to the customer's doorstep. At that point, they have a test drive that they take with one of our branded employees. It's kind of brings the car in a truck. And then if they choose to accept the car, then they keep it. They have 7 days to return it. If at any point in time they don't like it, we come grab it from them, kind of no sweat off their back, and we take it back. So that's the business model. We've basically gotten rid of the dealership. Generally, the overhead costs associated with the dealership are around $2,000 per car sold. And so what we were able to do is by getting rid of that, we can pass those savings on to customers. We can give them higher quality cars. We can deliver the car to their doorstep at a cost of about $200 to us, which is meaningfully less than running a physical dealership. And so we think it's an exciting model. We think it's a higher service level. We think it's something that customers, you know, generally will continue to react positively to, and we think it's a great deal. As the internet's become a bigger and bigger part of car shopping, you know, customers know price. Everyone knows what price is on a car. Everyone knows what it should be. And I think there's a ton of sites out there that are great at figuring out what price you should pay. But what's happened is kind of the dealership experience has evolved in a way that, you know, I personally view is not all that positive, where because everyone knows exactly what the car price should be, you know, there's no profit in that. And so all the profits move to the back room. And so, you know, if you look in 2012, 60% of retail profits for the automotive industry came from F&I products. And so that means marking up your interest rate a couple points. It means selling a warranty at a very high markup. It means, you know, etching or nitrogen in your tires or whatever the product may be, but that's where all the profit is. And so I think that's what's happened is because there's $2,000 of overhead cost, that has to be covered somewhere, but there's no margin in the car, and so the process has got drawn out, and there's a bunch of different products that get sold to you along with the car itself. And there really wasn't a natural solution to, I think, what was continually becoming a worse and worse consumer experience unless you address the cost structure issue.
All right, again, that was Ernie Garcia Jr., president and founder of Carvana, on the Atlanta Business Radio show from August 29th. You can listen to that entire episode at atlantabusinessradio.businessradiox.com. And the reason I wanted to play it, of course, is because, like I said, my soapbox is out. My car buying process, here's the good news. I bought a car. It's a done deal. I have my new car. It's out in the parking lot. And I actually sold my old car on Craigslist yesterday. And I was very happy with the way that all worked out. However, I want to first, before I leave Carvana altogether, say how did I not know about this before I got into this whole process? Because I might have tried it. So now I wanted to share that with you because I want you all to know that there's an alternative. There's an alternative out there. Carvana, I don't know, you know, maybe someone's had a bad experience with them. I don't know how good or bad they are. I leave that up to you to do your homework and research and find out for yourselves. But it sounds really good to me, and I'm sort of mad at myself for having not known about it till after I bought my car. But anyway, the other thing I thought was really interesting was when he talked about the $2,000 in overhead that it costs to have to sell a car from a dealer versus $200 at Carvana, and also that they're making all their money on those products. So, you know, you have to be careful when you're in the dealership and they're saying, well, we can finance it for you and here's the rate. And you know, they have good rates, so often that's not an issue, but they're getting that money. You know, even if it's a low rate, that's money that they're making on you. So that's a bargaining chip for you because you can go get your financing elsewhere. And then, you know, I went through the process and I had that whole thing about, here, why don't you buy this really expensive warranty? And you feel like you're taking a risk when you say no, but the reality is that's just another way for them to get in your wallet. Same thing with all that stuff. They fill your tires with stuff and they do all kinds of crazy things. Okay, so my dealership experience, I'm gonna give you the whole story after the break, but I do just need to tell you that I have not been as angry as I was last week in probably 10 years. I wasn't just yelling, I was screaming. I was cursing, I was screaming, I was threatening, I was rude. I was infuriated. And
I'm glad I was somewhere else when that happened.
You know what? And then I was just ashamed that that's where I had to go. But you know what? It had to happen. It had to happen. So I'm going to tell you the whole story because it's kind of, you know, we can all learn from it maybe, including me. But first, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
A few years ago, my husband was laid off from his job. We found ourselves accumulating a large amount of credit card debt. One morning, I overheard an ad, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
The process was painless. My counselor that was assigned to me was amazing. Never once did she make me feel any less of a person. She was almost like a friend.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Trinity has continued to support me, keeping me informed of useful tips. And today, I'm debt-free for keeps.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X.
Are you pushing your mic button?
I didn't. Maybe I did it by accident.
So I just turned you off.
Oh, whoopsie-daisy. Well, we're back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, Mike Roy, my producer, making sure I don't push the wrong buttons over here. They shouldn't really put any buttons near me. I don't know what they were thinking. But I wanted to continue this car discussion because I just have to kind of tell you what happened. So here's the background, and it's going to be hard for me to make this story short, but I'm going to do my best. So I pick out the car I want. I find it at this dealership. I make a deal with my salesman on the phone for the price. So we're set on price. I go down, I test drive it. It's all good. I say to him, okay, I want to take it to my mechanic to have it checked out. Again, following the rules of Clark Howard, and who obviously I worship, just saying. But and I'm going out of town. So to be honest, I'm making a long story longer, but my sales guy, Anoop, takes the car for me to my mechanic because I'm out of town, and finds something wrong. Then he takes it to Mini Cooper. It was a Mini Cooper to get fixed, and because it's still under warranty, which is all good. I have paid, by the way, a deposit on my credit card for this car. I have committed to buying this car. Okay, $1,500 deposit plus $100 to my mechanic to get it checked out. Legitimate because he not only is it legitimate no matter what, but it's especially legitimate because he found something. So we're continuing to negotiate when I get back from my vacation and blah, 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 negotiate. And what happens is we stall a little bit because we're talking about, well, maybe I will do the trade in there. Maybe I will do the financing there. And so a day or two goes by, but I'm still like, we have a deal. I'm buying this car. So the final day comes, and the day in question, the day that will live forever in infamy, at least for me and my dog who witnessed my freak out, I call my sales guy and I say, well, all right, send me the contract. I need the contract with my credit union as the lien holder so I can go get the check and I'll buy the car. And he says, well, I don't think we have the car anymore. I said, excuse me? Well, I don't think we have the car anymore. It turns out, he's like, and I don't get paid enough to lie to you. So this is not, I'm not trying to egg you on. I'm just telling you what's happening here. He said, one of our managers, and I'm going to try to be vague because I don't want to call anyone out individually, but one of our manager's daughter decided she wanted the car. So they sold it to her. Well, there was a little bit of a back and forth. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it might happen. And da, 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 da. So there's hours back and forth where I'm waiting and I'm calling. And finally, I get him. He texts me and he says, the car's gone. They sold it to her. So I said, oh, no, 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 not acceptable. I need the manager's name. I need the pre-owned manager's name. I need the general manager's name. I need Mr. Nally's number. And he's like, there is no Mr. Nally, first of all. Hey, you never know, right? I mean, yeah, there probably is somewhere a Jim Ellis, right? So there could be a Mr. Nally. Well, apparently, no.
Just
anyway,
name.
You know, yeah, exactly. So anyway, no, there's no. But I got the manager's name and number, and I called this poor guy, and he answered the phone. I said who I was, and I said, I explained the situation, and he immediately launched into excuses. I mean, this car was gone. He starts making all these excuses, and I lost it. Unacceptable. How can you let an employee essentially buy a car that someone has paid a deposit on? And so I just started screaming and yelling. And the reason I want to tell this story is because after my, I'm not even kidding, screaming, the curses, if I tried to tell you, say what I said on the air, you would be beeping me every 2 seconds. Mike has his finger on the button. I'm not going to do it. But I mean, I was, you can imagine what was coming out of my mouth. And threatening to picket and threatening Better Business Bureau and threatening social media and threatening to talk about him badly on the radio forever from then on. And so after my yelling and screaming, he said, well, what do you want to do? I'm sure he thought I just wanted to hang up on him. And I said, I want the bleeping car. Get me the contract. So he did. He got me the car. The girl that bought the car literally was on her way to Tennessee. They had to call her and make her drive the car back. And I bought the car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's how loud I was yelling, that I scared them enough to get the girl to drive back from Tennessee.
And she probably wasn't happy.
Oh,
that.
My God. I'm sure she was.
Probably not.
Devastated. You know, I'm sure she was. First of all, if she's on her way to Tennessee, she was probably going to party with her friends or whatever. And not so much after I yelled and screamed. The bad side of this is that if I hadn't yelled and screamed, I fully believe that I would not have gotten the car. So the lesson that they just taught me is that in order to get your way, you need to act like a jerk and yell and scream and be horrible. And
that's pretty much what I'm getting from your story.
Yeah, I mean, that's the moral of the story. The moral of the story is be a jerk.
Kick and scream all you want, and then you'll just be handed it.
Right. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. I mean, that's the bottom line. And it was so upsetting to me that if I had just called, I am sure that if I had just called and like rationally explained why what they did was not acceptable, they would have said, too bad, so sad. See, you wouldn't want to be you. And, you know, so yelling and screaming was where I had to go, which was very unfortunate. And I felt really bad afterwards. I mean, I was like shaking, you know. Of course, my boyfriend was high-fiving me. When he got home, he was like, good job, babe, way to go, you know. But I was
as he should have. I mean,
yeah. Well, and then when we went to pick the car up, of course, I was sort of like, we went down that night to pick up the car, and of course, the guy I yelled at was there, and everyone in the dealership had heard about it, so they
you're
were
kind of a little scared.
I walked in and I said to the one guy, I'm looking for my sales guy, Anoop, and he goes, oh, are you the Mini Cooper? And I was like, yeah, that's me. Then I was walking across I ended up having to take their financing, long story, but I won't get into it, but we were walking across the dealership with a different finance guy, and he said, so are you going to talk about me on the radio? And I was like, I just might. So obviously everyone in the dealership heard about my tirade. I'll probably live on in infamy.
They're probably listening right now.
They probably are, wondering, and here I am talking about it. And I, you know, ultimately they fixed it. They fixed the problem. I got the car, fine. But again, the thing that's upsetting is that, you know, yelling and screaming was the way I solved the problem. You know, that wasn't good. Then I also wanted to talk about, you know, I know we're almost out of time, but we have a couple minutes, because the other thing that I thought was really kind of funny about this whole thing is that in the midst of all this, not right in the midst of it, thank goodness, or I probably would have bitten somebody else's head off. But in the midst of all this, I get two calls over the course of this 2 week period from like some crazy phone number that's clearly not Atlanta, like some 818 or I don't know, some crazy phone number. And I pick it up thinking that it could be like, you know, Hollywood calling to give me my own show or something. And it's this service saying, you know, hi, this is so-and-so calling from the dealership to see how your experience is going.
You're like, well, let me tell you something about them.
Well, the first time they did it, they were like, because I went online originally and had looked at the car, and they were like, we see that you looked at this car online and we wanted to see if you needed any help with this. And I was like, well, you guys need to get your record straight, because I'm already dealing with the salesman at the dealership. And they were like, oh, so sorry. No problem. So then they call me back a week later. Same thing. We see that you were interested in this car online, and you know, we wanted to see if you wanted any help with it. I was like, at this point, literally, I had already bought the car. It was at my house. I was like, I've already purchased this car. So why are you calling me? Get your record straight. And then in the same vein, I also received an email after I bought the car, a form email, which I printed out and brought, and I'm showing it to Mike because he's the only person that can see me right now. But it's a form letter from my sales guy. It came from his email address saying that he wants to take a moment to personally thank me for visiting the dealership today. He hopes I had a pleasant experience and that I got to see for myself how they do things differently. Well, you know what?
He clearly doesn't know who you are.
Well, it's a form. I don't even think he sent it. I think it's just in their system. And so my point is, and the reason I wanted to bring it up is because, first of all, I did not have a pleasant experience. And sending me this email just sort of infuriated me even more. But also, you know, like, they have these systems in place. They spend money. So this dealership, which is a very successful dealership in Atlanta, there's Nally's all over the place. And I think many people are very happy with the service they provide. And I'm sure for most people, things go great. And like I said, I can't complain too much because ultimately they did fix the problem. However, they pay money to have these systems, these automated emails that go out, and these people that are calling from who knows where, a customer service center somewhere, to try to help you, serve you, make you feel good, whatever, and they're not working. So they're investing money in these systems that are flat out not working because the phone system called me twice, you know, to ask me something that didn't make any sense with where I was in the sales process. And then this email comes, which should never have come because clearly we had a difficult sales process. So if anything, they should have sent me a personal email that said, hey, Dana, you know what? We're really sorry that we struggled, but oh, you're playing the jazzy music. Does that mean it's time?
The soapbox just runs too fast.
All right.
You have a minute if you want.
I have a minute to keep going. Anyway, so they sent me all this, you know, stuff that just didn't make sense. So I question these systems. And in addition to questioning the whole car buying process, I question these automated systems. And I would, again, like I have before, challenge all CEOs to kind of check that stuff out for yourself and see if it's really working. Anyway, this has been the Business Radio X Week in Review. There is tons of great programming coming up next week on Business Radio X. You can check it all out at businessradiox.com. I'm Dana Barrett for myself and Mike Roy. We hope you have a great week.